Now we come here to three more statements. We had actually four statements back in the first three verses, but here now in verse 14 we have three more statements. And the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. And we beheld, third, we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the Word was made flesh. I want you to look at that for just a moment. The Greek philosopher probably would have stayed with us through verse 1, but he leave us here because he'd never agree that the Word was made flesh. The Greek language also allows us to put it more specifically, and I think more accurately, the Word was born flesh. And now turn this over in your mind for a moment. Here comes God out of eternity. He's already the Ancient of Days, but He also came to Bethlehem. George MacDonough said it, they were looking for a king to lift them high. He came a little baby thing that made a woman cry. And notice that John's gospel doesn't even mention His birth in Bethlehem. You know why? He's talking about one who's too big for Bethlehem. He comes out of eternity, and He takes upon Himself our humanity. The Word became flesh, or was born flesh. Now here's the Christmas story that's in John's gospel, and it's very important to see that, that He was born flesh, and the only way it could take place was by the virgin birth, you see. The writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 2:16, "For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham, and He took part of flesh and blood, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Now there's some that think that these statements that are made here, which were born, that it not only refers to the new birth of the believer, but it speaks of His birth. He was born not of blood. That is, He was not born in a human way, that is, by human effort, nor the will of the flesh, but human effort, the will of man. But He was born of God, and the Word was made flesh. What a statement here. The Word was made flesh. Here is the Christmas story. He was born flesh. Unto us, a child is born unto us, a son is given. The little child was born in Bethlehem, but the Son came out of eternity. The Word was born flesh. Now the second statement is, the Word dwelt among us. And the word dwelt here is skeneo, and it means to just pitch a tent. Skeneo means a tent. Our human bodies here are just little tents in which we live, and they're just as frail as a tent, friends. The Apostle Paul used the same imagery. He says, "We know that if this tabernacle be dissolved," that is, this house in which we live is a tabernacle, it's a little tent, and it can be blown over in a night. A little wind can blow it over. It can be snuffed out in an instant. And because you and I live in these little tents, the God of eternity came down to this earth, and He took upon Himself a human body and pitched His tent here among us. And that's a second tremendous statement. And notice the third. "And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now He's saying something else. The question I'd naturally ask at this point is, if He was made flesh, He certainly limited Himself. John says, wait a minute. He was full of grace and truth. The word "full" means that you just could not have any more. He brought all the deity with Him. He was full of grace and full of truth when He came down here. How tremendous this is. And now we have here John bear witness of Him. And John cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. It's out of the fullness of Christ, for the pleroma of Christ. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. This is the one we're talking about.